While most of us rarely think about diesel fuel as anything other than a pollutant, in fact, it is essential to the entire world economy in a way few energy sources are. The Director General of the Fuels Europe, part of the European Petroleum Refiners Association, stated recently there is a clear link between diesel and GDP because almost everything that goes into and out of a factory goes using diesel. At the end of the first week of Russia's military action in Ukraine, with no sanctions yet specific to Russia's diesel fuel exports, the European diesel price was already at a 30-year high. It had nothing to do with war. It had to do with the draconian global COVID lockdown since March 2020 and the simultaneous disinvestment by Wall Street and global financial firms in oil and gas companies, so-called Green Agenda or ESG. Almost on day one of Russian troop actions in Ukraine, two of the world's largest oil companies, BP and Shell, both British, stopped deliveries of diesel fuel to Germany, claiming fear of supply shortages. Russia supplied some 60 to 70% of all EU diesel before the Ukraine crisis. In 2020, Russia was the world's second largest exporter of diesel fuel behind USA, shipping more than 1 million barrels daily. Most of it, some 70%, went to the EU and Turkey. France was the largest importer, followed by Germany and UK. In France, some 76% of all road vehicles, including cars, trucks, use diesel. The EU diesel demand is far higher than in the US, as most cars also use the more economical and efficient diesel fuel. In the first week of April, the EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen proudly announced new sanctions against Russian energy that would begin with a ban on coal. The EU is the largest importer of Russia coal. Oil and gas, she said, would follow at a later date. That foolish move will merely boost the cost of energy already at a record high for most of the EU, as it will force oil and gas prices far higher. At the beginning of the Ukraine crisis, global stocks of diesel fuel were already the lowest since 2008, as the COVID lockdowns had done major damage to the demand-supply situation of oil and gas production. Now the stage is set for an unprecedented crisis in diesel. The consequences will be staggering for the world economy. Diesel engines have the highest engine efficiency of conventional motors. They are based on the principle of compression developed in 1897 by Rudolf Diesel. Because of their greater efficiency and greater mileage per gallon, diesel fuels almost all freight truck motors. It fuels most all farm equipment from tractors to harvesting machines. It is widely used in the EU, almost 50% for auto fuel, as it is far more fuel efficient than gasoline engines. It is used in most all heavy mining machines, such as Caterpillar earth movers. It is used in construction equipment. Diesel engines have replaced steam engines on all non-electrified railroads in the world, especially freight trains. Diesel is used in some electric power generation and in most all heavy military vehicles. A global shortage in diesel fuel, temporary or longer term, is therefore a catastrophic event. Goods cannot be moved from container ports to inland destinations. Without diesel fuel, trucks cannot deliver food to the supermarket or anything else for that matter. The entire supply chain is frozen, and there is no possibility to substitute gasoline in a diesel engine without ruining the engine. Until the ill-conceived global COVID lockdowns of industry and transportation that began in March 2020, the demand and supply of diesel fuel was well balanced. The sudden lockdowns, however, collapsed diesel demand for truck transport, autos, construction, even farming. Unprofitable refineries were closed. Capacity declined. Now, as world production returns to a semblance of pre-COVID normal, diesel reserve stocks worldwide are dangerously low, especially in the EU, which is the world's largest diesel consumer, but also the USA. At the start of this year, world diesel stocks were already dangerously low, and that drove prices sky high. As of October 2022, before impact of the Ukraine crisis, diesel and related stocks in the U.S. were 21% below the pre-COVID seasonal average. In the EU, stocks were 8% or 35 million barrels below the pre-COVID average level. In Singapore, the Asian hub stocks were 32% below normal. Combined, all three regions' diesel stocks were alarmingly low, some 101 million barrels below the same point last year. Between January 2021 and January 2022, EU diesel fuel prices had almost doubled, and that before the Ukraine sanctions. There were several reasons, but primary was the soaring price of crude oil and supply disruptions owing to global COVID lockdowns and subsequent resumption of world trade flows. To add to the problem, in early March, the Chinese Central Bank imposed a ban on its exports of diesel fuel to ensure energy security amid Western sanctions on Russia. Add to that, the recent Biden administration ban on imports of all Russian oil and gas, which in 2021 included an estimated 20% of all Russian heavy oil exports. At the same time, the EU, in its ever-ideological wisdom, is finalizing a ban on imports of Russian coal with bans on Russian crude oil, diesel fuel, and gas, reportedly to follow. On April 4th, average price per liter of diesel in Germany was 2.10 euros. On December 27th, 2021, it was 1.50 euros, a rise of 40% in weeks. Following the unprecedented USA and EU sanctions against Russia, following the Ukraine military campaign after February 24th, more and more Western oil companies and oil traders are refusing to handle Russian crude oil or diesel fuel for fear of reprisals. This is certain to escalate so long as fighting in Ukraine continues. The CEO of Rotterdam-based Vitol, the world's largest independent energy trading company, warned on March 27th that rationing of diesel fuel in the coming months globally was increasing likely. He noted Europe imports about half of its diesel from Russia and about half of its diesel from the West Asia region. That systematic shortfall of diesel is there. On April 7, David McWilliams, a leading Irish economist formerly with the Irish National Bank, sounded an alarming note. Not only is oil going up, diesel is going up, and there is a real threat diesel will run out in Western Europe over the course of the next 2 or 3 weeks, or maybe before that. We import a significant amount of our diesel. It comes from two refineries in the UK, where it's first processed. Those refineries do not have any crude at the moment, so we are basically running the economy on a day-to-day, hour-to-hour basis, he added. We have not just an oil crisis, we have an energy crisis, the likes of which we haven't seen in 50 years. According to him, the reason diesel stocks are so low is that the EU countries found it far cheaper to outsource oil and diesel to Russia with its huge supply. The situation in the USA is not better. For political reasons, the true state of diesel fuel crisis is reportedly being downplayed by the Biden administration and the EU. Inflation is already at 40-year highs in the US. What the unfolding global diesel fuel crisis will mean, barring a major turnaround, is a dramatic impact on all forms of truck and auto transportation, farming, mining, and the like. It will spell a catastrophe for an already failing world economy. Yet governments like the German Ampel Traffic Light Coalition, with their insane zero-carbon agenda and their plans to phase out oil, coal, and gas, or the Biden cabal, privately see the exploding energy prices as further argument to abandon hydrocarbons like oil for unreliable, costly wind and solar. The real industrial interconnected global economy is not like a game of Lego toys. It is highly complex and finely tuned. That fine-tuning is being systematically destroyed, and all evidence is that it is deliberate.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The holy prophet of Islam is the example
of عمل انسان بعد از ایمان.
Self-purification is the most significant factor.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
امامت is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech in this holy month of Ramadan. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
شما یه موقع توی اتاقی هستید، یکی دو تا پنجره داره، یکی دو تا در داره، از این پنجره ها و درها دارید بیرون.
Let's give you an example to understand the status of the holy month of Ramadan better. Sometimes you are in a room which has several doors and windows. You look outside the room through these doors and windows. However, sometimes you go outside the room and then look around. Now, all you see is the door to the world outside. In other words, your limited worldview inside the room changes to a widespread one inside the world outside.
حالا پیغمبر می‌فرماید شب اول ماه رمضان که میشه و فتحت ابواب السما تمام درهای آسمان باز میشه.
Now, according to Prophet Muhammad, the holy month of Ramadan is like an open and widespread gate to the world of divinity and spirituality. In fact, all the doors to heaven are open in this month and no door is closed. Prophet Muhammad also states, on the first night of the holy month of Ramadan, a caller calls you to himself and says, O you who are after doing good deeds, come to me. And O you who are after doing evil deeds, leave such deeds. This sentence of Prophet Muhammad shows the high status of the month of Ramadan. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech in this holy month of Ramadan, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Food for thought.
Hello dear listeners, and since we are marking the grand night of Qadr, on which God Almighty fixes destinies for the year to come, let us hear what the command of the faithful and the leader of the pious, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, says about destiny. Each step one takes is a step towards one's destiny.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha
When this secret of our victory prevails everywhere, then victory will be gained. Our beloved nation of Palestine should have unity of expression and reliance upon the exalted and blessed God, heed the clergy, attain spirituality and turn their attention to the exalted and blessed Allah to make all the oppressed nations victorious. Those who have no faith in Allah in their calculations, it was unthinkable that a nation that had nothing could overcome the powers that had everything at their disposal. It was unthinkable that the hands of foreigners who were armed to the teeth with every kind of weapon could be cut off from their resources.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the month of Ramadan. In one of his speeches, he mentions that we must undergo an inner revolution. We must change if our souls have so far been dominated by the Satan or Tagut. In this part of his speech, Imam Khomeini is referring to a change in the society, and that change comes if oneself changes himself. If the soul have a revolution inside and it does not perform any kind of bad deeds and it performs good deeds and it is God-weary, then obviously we can have a revolution from inside, and that is inner revolution which Imam Khomeini is referring to. And this is very important, that if we have an inner revolution, it means that we are saying no to the evil or the Satan. We are saying no to the Tagut. Tagut is something that is evil, and we do not accept
any act of that Taghut, that entity. Therefore, if we want to say no to Taghut, if we want to say no to Satan or evil, then obviously we need to have an inner change. Now, for the inner change, in chapter Ali Imran, in verse number 89, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Because before this verse is talking about the people who perform sin. After that, he says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ, except those تَابُوا, who repented, مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. After that, they have performed sins or maybe the mistakes. وَأَصْلَحُوا, and they reformed. They had this inner revolution. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. So therefore, Allah is the most forgiving and the merciful. Therefore, even in the Quran, it is said that we need to have an inner revolution. And this inner revolution is saying no to any kind of taghut, to any kind of evil, to any bad deed, to satanic deeds. So we need to reform ourselves. And this is the time, the month of Ramadan is the time when, according to some ahadith, some narrations, the Satan is being captured and he's not free to whisper in the ears of the mankind so that he can misguide people. Therefore, we need to reform ourselves. We need to have this inner change, this inner revolution in order to say no to any kind of evil action and to be the people which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished. And in order to reach to perfection, we must have this inner revolution, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Iran's National Museum is displaying a collection of artifacts that was stolen decades ago, but has finally returned home after a long legal battle. The items, which include sacred figurines, pots and jars, date back to more than 3,000 years ago. They were stolen and sent to the West more than four decades ago. In 1991, the British Museum was seeking to buy the collection from a smuggler residing in Switzerland. The objects, however, were seized by Swiss police and revealed in court in 2008. Since then, Iran had been trying to get the stolen treasures back home.
Under pressure from the Iranian diplomatic apparatus and the official complaints of the National Museum in 2015, the legal process continued, and finally on December 20, 2020, the collection returned to us.
The collection belongs to the northwestern city of Bukhan, which was the home of Manians around the 10th to 7th centuries BC. The Manians were one of the first nomadic tribes to build cities in that area. The director of Iran's National Museum says the effort to recover other stolen artifacts continues. The country is now holding talks with the U.S. and Australia to return ancient objects smuggled over there.
Japanese researchers have developed chopsticks that artificially create the taste of salt. They have done this as part of efforts to reduce high levels of sodium intake in Japan. The utensils look like a typical pair of chopsticks, but with a cable and a mini computer worn on the person's wrist. A mild electrical current transmits sodium ions from food through the chopsticks and into the user's mouth. This enhances the taste of salt, requiring less of it in food to achieve the same good taste.
To prevent severe lifestyle-related diseases or to prevent these diseases altogether, we need to reduce the amount of salt we take regularly. Japanese people tend to ingest a large amount of salt in their diet. If we try to avoid taking less salt in a conventional way, we would need to endure cutting out our favorite foods from our diet or endure eating bland food.
The chopsticks have already been clinically tested. Participants say the device enhanced salty taste of low-sodium food by roughly 1.5 times. The engineers are currently refining the chopsticks and hope to commercialize the product next year. The product was jointly developed by Meiji University professor Homei Miyashita and a beverage holding company. Miyashita is best known for his creation of a TV screen that can imitate various flavors. How long could you work at your job? In Brazil, a 100-year-old man has broken the world record for the longest spell working at a single company. Walter Orthman has entered the Guinness World Record books for working at the same fabric company for an astonishing period of 84 years. He started on the factory floor before moving into administration and later on into the sales management. Despite his extraordinary accomplishment, Orthman's advice for those looking for a long and fulfilling professional life is surprisingly routine.
You have to like to work. I started to work with that willingness and fighting spirit. You also have to start working on something you like to do. You can't just do any job to say that you're working. That doesn't work. You're not going to be able to stand it. You have to look for a job that you like to do, and there you won't even feel the time passing. That's what happened with me. I started working here and I liked it. I worked my way up from point to point until I got to the position I'm in today.
Ortman says his secret to a long life and breaking the record is having a healthy lifestyle and staying away from junk food. He says he avoids sugar and salt as much as possible and tries to keep a diet that is healthy for the mind and soul. In order to stay sharp, Orthman says he does stretches and maintains physical activity.
Agriculture is no exception when it comes to adapting new technologies in the context of changing climate. Now, French farmers in the northwestern suburbs of Paris grow greens in any season using hydroponic farms. Residents of a housing estate have ditched the traditional way of farming to create jobs for their community. Hydroponic farming is a method of growing plants in water, not in soil. It may sound like it would be a complicated process, but it's actually quite straightforward. The system is made of plastic and uses a rich organic ecosystem. The workers use less water than usual and do not even need a teaspoon of soil. One of the employees describes how they turned barren land into a farm.
It used to be a garage where they stored cars, but since there were no more cars, we used it as a dormitory. We listened to music and watched football matches. We used to meet here to have a bit of privacy and breathe, to hide away for a while. But now that it's become a place of work, I'm happy because I'm working.
Hydroponic farms can be used to grow products of all kinds in any region. In this one, farmers are planting all sorts of things, ranging from Peruvian mint to Vietnamese coriander. They hope that the system can be used to help local residents, especially those who need it the most.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Magic returns to Belgium with a purple carpet of bluebells covering the undergrowth of Hallerbos woods near Brussels. Each spring, this beech forest turns into a bluebell spectacular, turning the area into a natural wonderland. Millions of these blooming flowers sprout up across the 550-hectare woods, filling the air with their sweet aroma. The short but enchanting blooming phase offers nature enthusiasts a one-of-a-kind experience.
It is an outstanding and magical place because whenever we come, there's an amazing atmosphere. The sunrise was truly beautiful this morning, and we know this offers the opportunity to take great photos and decorate our house. It is a great comfort during these tough times.
Visitors can stroll the winding paths and watch rabbits and deer wandering through the woods. The forest floor blooms for a period of 7 to 10 days. After this time, leaves begin to grow on the trees above them, blocking the sunlight from reaching the flowers. The phenomenon of bluebell forest is not uncommon in Europe, but the Hallerbos greenery is unique for the density and beauty of its blossoms. A huge pink moon has glowed over Chilean skies, mesmerizing stargazers and ordinary citizens alike. The full moon was completely visible over the capital, Santiago. The celestial phenomenon is called a pink moon as it appears in April and is named after an American plant, pink plot, that blooms in spring. The pink moon will shine during the weekend through early Monday and may be visible in most parts of the world. The phenomenon also marks the calendar for different religious festivities around the globe.
A batch of autonomous delivery vehicles has been provided to facilitate personnel and volunteers in the streets and communities of Shanghai. The self-driving vehicles distribute supplies to residents in the Chinese megacity, which is now hit hard by the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. The vehicles reduce person-to-person contact and largely lower the risk of infection. A community served by the distribution station has more than 30 apartment buildings and nearly 3,000 residents. The weight of each order is more than 5 kilograms, which puts great pressure on the volunteers to deliver. 49 autonomous delivery vehicles have been sent to communities, colleges, and hospitals in Shanghai to support anti-pandemic and supply work. Sunny skies and spring temperatures made for the perfect setting for the 65th birthday of Fatu, the world's oldest gorilla living at Berlin Zoo. At this age, the Western lowland gorilla is what Berlin Zoo calls almost something of a legend. Gorillas living in the wild have a life expectancy of about 40 years, and at 65, she has been the world's oldest living gorilla for a while. 65 is absolutely extraordinary, and that obviously needs to be celebrated in style.
They mainly get vegetables, and the sugar they receive at malls is fruit sugar, and that's what she saw for today in the shape of raspberries and blueberries. They were the decoration on rice cake made of boiled rice, a thin layer of rice and some curd so it sticks together. The bottom was made of a lot of green stuff, then the lion and lettuce.
According to Berlin Zoo, Western lowland gorillas are now an endangered species after their natural habitat was continuously decimated, and therefore fewer and fewer animals live in the tropical rainforest of Cameroon, the Central African Republic, Gabon, and the Republic of Congo. World of Opera is opening its doors to the deaf community for the very first time. The Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra has teamed up with the Deaf West Theater to stage a production of Beethoven's only opera, Fidelio, at their home at the Walt Disney Hall. The chorus will be performed by the White Hands Choir, a group from Venezuela consisting of disabled children and young adults who sing as well as sign. The production pairs up a singer and a deaf actor to both inhabit the one role on stage. Having deaf actors perform alongside opera singers, however, has its challenges, not least of which is keeping up the rhythm of the music.
I think probably that there's a lot of tempo that I've been rehearsing. A lot of times when the singers hold the same word, but the next time they say that exact same word in the next few bars, they don't hold it as long. So trying to remember all of those is very difficult. So are they holding this for 4 beats or 2 beats? Or what word is this in this thing?
The challenge with opera is that it's very fluid and it's not repetitive. The tempos change throughout it, and night to night it even changes. The conductor, you know, kind of changes how he conducts things each night, and so that is something that is challenging.
The opera singers also give small cues to the actors, like opening a letter or sitting down or standing up, to keep them informed where they are in the piece. The deaf cast use theatrical ASL, or American Sign Language, in the production. DJ Kurs, the producer at the Deaf West Theater, says the performance is a little bit more poetic and a little bit more kind of picturesque.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about peaceful mind in the month of Ramadan.
Oh Ramadan, oh Ramadan, month of mercy you are. Welcome Ramadan, oh Ramadan, oh Ramadan, month of mercy you are. Welcome Ramadan, 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 Ramadan.
Today Monday is the 23rd of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri Calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Ordibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by chapter Ar-Rahman, verses 29 to 32.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
يسأله من في السماوات والأرض كل يوم هو في شأن.
Whoever is within the heavens and earth asks him. Every day he is bringing about a matter.
فبأي آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
سنفرغ لكم أيها الثقلان.
We will attend to you, O prominent beings.
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
Invocation may be expressed through verbal or non-verbal language. Man is in need of God Almighty at all times, whether he invokes him to meet his demands or he fails to do likewise. The point is that Allah Almighty is not in the process of creation at all times, and each and every day he plans something new. And he's meeting the demands of the needy, and those who invoke him to meet their needs is likewise. One day, Allah bestows might upon some people, and the other day, He ruins them, owning to their disobedience and committing sins. Take care of your soul. Dear friends, Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, is a time for us to grow closer to Allah, to reflect, to worship, and to nourish our souls. While we refrain from eating and drinking during daylight hours, it's important to remember why we are doing so and how we can use the month to achieve the ultimate purpose of Ramadan, to attain taqwa. What is taqwa? God consciousness. Our daily lives are very busy and we are connected to one device or another most of the time. If we aren't using our laptops, we are on our phones or watching television, it's important, especially in Ramadan, to create spaces that are calm and quiet to allow you to reflect and reconnect to Allah, the Almighty. This doesn't mean you need a total digital detox, but perhaps consider taking just 10 minutes every day to sit alone in a quiet space to reflect. It may feel strange at first, but guide your thoughts towards your relationship with Allah, your purpose in life, and how you could improve.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-sa'in. Psychological tranquility in the month of, in the light of the month Ramadan. As we know, the month Ramadan is the month especially designated and especially designed for being attentive to religious duties and religious obligations. Throughout the month of Ramadan, we find that pious people observe it and try to, to do or to consider, to observe all the rites and rituals of this month as best as possible. The least condition is abstaining from eating and drinking in daytime. Right from the time of Azan or the, at dawn, up to the sunset, in the beginning of night. Now we find that in this connection, throughout these hours, which may differ throughout the year, because in winter the daytime is shorter, but in summer daytime is, longer, of course. We find that throughout the month Ramadan days, and also nights, we find that many people come to consider performing and discharging their religious duties. And this gives them a sense of tranquility, a sense of psychological balance. And since many jobs that are permissible in other time of the year, in other seasons throughout the year, some such jobs like, for example, eating and drinking, which are permitted, throughout the year, they are forbidden, strictly forbidden, in daytime, in the month of Ramadan. We find that people come to accept this kind of duty and to observe it. Through observing this kind of duty, people come to adjust themselves to the prevailing situation, which isn't going to last a very long time. Rather, its duration lasts for only 1 month. However, we find that some people, due to some problems of industrialization and socialization, or for example psychological problems and so on, some people come to receive stresses or different types of psychological stress. Because of this, we find that all of these stresses seem to mitigate in the month of Ramadan. And since they are lowered in the month of Ramadan, people experience psychological tranquility in this month. And this is one of the benefits of the month of Ramadan, not only for individuals, but for the whole community. Thank you.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind. Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
Find tranquility this Ramadan. Don't forget dua. One of the most critical things to have during Ramadan is a dua list. This can be one sketched on paper, typed on your phone, or just embedded in your memory. Repeating the same duas after prayers and throughout the day is a good practice and encourages remembrance of the power of Allah and the mercy of this month. The second way to find tranquility during this Ramadan is cutting out the distractions. Checking your phone, update social media, watching television, these are all things that distract us on a daily basis. While you might not be able to cut these out completely, cutting down on unnecessary acts will help you focus on what is important. Instead of updating your status, make dua. Instead of listening to music or news, recite dhikr. Instead of watching your favorite show, read the Holy Quran. Take advantage of this holy time and its abundant blessings. We're speaking about peace and tranquility during the month of Ramadan. This is today's special IRIB English Radio. And now the continuation of it. As this is a time for introspection, the month of Ramadan is a time for achieving spiritual balance and inner peace. Personal hostility is at the minimum, and the crime rates have been known to significantly decrease. Muslims take advice from the Prophet who said, if one slanders you and aggresses against you, say, I'm fasting. Muslims practice generosity by being charitable, family bonding by gathering around the iftar table, spirituality by praying, and self-control by practicing good manners. All these habits build a feeling of peace, tranquility, and self-satisfaction. In addition to fasting, reciting the Holy Quran also reserves to produce tranquility of heart and mind, promotes forgiveness and tolerance, and also improves the memory.
The month of Ramadan is a month of ibadah, the month of worship, the month of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our whole lives, 11 months, we don't have that strong bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very few people build that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invest in that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During the month of Ramadan, set an hour and a half to recite some dua. When you wake up for the suhoor, to eat, to take a bite, to give your body strength, also recite a dua. Also recite some Quran during those moments. Because just as your body needs the strength and needs the nutrition, your soul is also hungry. How many of us feed our souls? We live in a society that tells us just come and give your desires, your materialistic desires, give them whatever it wants. Feed your stomach, feed your desires, feed your eyes, feed your ears, give your body everything it needs. How often do we have a sustenance for the soul, a sustenance for the heart, a sustenance for the nafs? Our souls are dying. Our souls are starving. And the only thing that will strengthen our souls is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bidhikri Allah tatma'innu al-qulub. It is only through the remembrance of Allah that our hearts will be at peace.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Please keep us in your prayers and du'as. And there is nothing else, just fi amanillah.
جلسة القرآن ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.